Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello, everyone. Happy Friday. I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Todd Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where we definitely use scientific methodology to analyze the world around us and pick out the things that we think have the most commercial or popular or meme-worthy potential, or sometimes are just like, I don't know, a whole bunch of people told me to watch this show, so it must be a thing.
Yeah, this is modern science, which means we decide it's true and then tell you.
And no one can doubt you because science is dead.
Exactly. Thanks for joining our TED Talk.
Amazing. Okay, what you got?
UFOs.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like...
Send one. I'm in.
It's kind of a sub thing of a meta thing, which I think the 70s are coming back in so many ways. Riots.
A sub thing of a meta thing is like my new favorite thing.
UFOs were big in the 70s when everyone had given up on society, and I think they're making a comeback now. Over this past week, we had all this stuff about the United States releasing information about UFOs, and we were going to find out that this supposedly shut down program had not been shut down, and Mitch McConnell's name was being brought back up regarding the UFOs, and I could think of was like, oh my gosh, it's Project Blue Book all over again. The whole Project Blue Book thing back in the 70s, where it was like, oh, they have a secret record of all the UFOs. Madonna got in trouble for saying alien DNA was being used in medicine. Like, UFOs, man, UFOs are a thing now.
Dude, you're actually totally right. They really are. I'm sort of realizing now how many times I've seen something about this go by recently and have been like, what? Wait, what? And a friend of mine, okay, yes, validate. UFO is definitely a thing right now. A friend of mine had a very interesting theory, because lately the U.S. has been sort of like releasing and disseminating all those videos that were supposedly taken by naval airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, these are for sure UFOs. And he was like, well, yeah, if you needed to project strength to China, you would definitely release some video of your military capability, a.k.a. your flying drones or missiles that can stop in midair, back up, raise and drop altitude thousands of feet in a couple seconds. I know.
Do you think that's what was going on with Project Blue Book to the Soviet Union then?
I mean, there's that like makes a perfect big sense. Argument. That makes perfect sense. Exactly. And in fact, there are even, there were suspicions that the UFOs that were being reported around the time of Roswell, the sightings, were Soviet propaganda. That they were like, oh, Americans are super scared. And so that they had like kidnapped all these German scientists and figured out how to make round aircraft, literally round aircraft, and use them to like, terrify the Americans.
I mean, that's not what happened, though.
No, for sure, aliens.
Is it?
Or is it? I don't know.
Well, but we would have discovered during the 90s anyway, before Putin took back over. Like, wouldn't we have been like, here are all those round airplanes we sent your way? Like,
I mean, exactly. Which is how we know.
Yeah. It's they are absolutely UFOs, because UFO means unidentified flying object. And they haven't identified what they are. So therefore, they're UFOs.
But you make such a great point that this is exactly the moment that people, this is exactly the kind of moment in history where people would be like, yes, please.
I love this confluence of, I need something else to believe in. I need to think there are other forms of intelligence out there, combined with a Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So true. So that's definitely that. So anyway, UFOs. So. And West Bay Stars mentioned Lindsay Ellis' Axiom's End, which a lot of people are calling like the modern day Close Encounters, although it's a book, not a movie, but because it talks about alien intelligence. This is it. Yep. This is it. We're back. We're back to the 1970s. Congratulations.
God, we really freaking are. And apparently the UFO unit is going to make some findings public. I ducked this while we were talking.
Unit.
And there's a story as of unit. There's a story as of last week, the 23rd, July 23rd, that says they're going to make some more information public.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's all part of my what I've been seeing. I'm like, okay, there was that, and the Navy, and the Madonna. And I'm like, that's it. Mm-hmm. UFOs are in their thing. So what are we going to do, Molly, while we sit out on our front lawns waiting for the aliens to arrive?
We are for sure going to enjoy a nice chilled glass of boxed wine.
Because you don't want to have to get back up to refill your glass. You'll need a box right next to you.
You need a box right next to you. Or the worst thing is when you open
a bottle. SCW Lung called it Card Bordeaux.
Card Bordeaux? Oh, dude, that's incredible. Like, look at the likes going up on this comment in the Discord. That is phenomenal and also totally true. Oh my God. Because the thing about wine is, like, you open a bottle, you don't want to drink the whole bottle. It's so much pressure. It could go bad. And at long last, boxed wine is having its moment. And I mean, when I say long last, I mean pandemic. Because apparently, it was starting to be a bit of a trend, boxed wine. And then now, boxed wine sales have gone crazy since March. They are up 36% for the 15-week period ending June 13th compared with the same period last year, outpacing the 29% increase in overall retail wine sales during the same period. Some stores have sold out, and I am not ashamed to say I'm totes buying the boxed wine and I'm into it. It's such a good deal. It's like $18 or $19 for a box, which is four bottles of wine. And the kind they have at Target is lovely. They have a Pinot Grigio. It's a little bit fruity. It's a perfectly lightweight, great day drinking wine, which I think we can all agree we're all totally doing right now. And I'm here for it.
I don't know for sure, but I have an inkling that in the original run of It's a Thing, you know, way back when, we talked about boxed wine being on the shelf more often. Maybe it was even in this run. But we talked about the idea of like, oh, you can now buy the box wine, and that seems to be burgeoning. So this feels like that was the prophecy, and this is the arrival of the Messiah.
Because I feel like we might have actually just talked about stuff in boxes, because the Discord's pointing out that water,
like box water.
I think we talked about boxed beverages overall, and then canned wine became a thing. I mean, wine in different containers for sure has been a thing. But yeah, boxed wine is where it's at. And I gotta say, I got a box of red. I got a box of white in the fridge. Like, I am all over this trend.
I mean, what else do you need? You're golden.
You're golden. And it's just, it's just never ending.
Do you have
it's
boxed orange wine?
Oh, I should. I definitely should.
And is that a thing?
The Target one, I can't remember what it's called, is really good. There's one called, hold on, I'm scrolling up. The Black Box, that's not bad. But the Target brand is where it's at. The Barefoot stuff, forget it, it's terrible. It's terrible. But it is a thing.
The only, because it's orange wine, the only orange wine box I can find is a box of orange wine bottles that you can subscribe to, because... subscriptions.
Boy, orange wine really fell off fast, huh?
I feel like maybe the pandemic
in a hurry.
Yeah.
I'm gonna look it up. Orange wine is over now.
Orange wine. Nobody.
Sometimes that happens with things, you know. Like the long. They can flame out, and then yeah. I don't know. I'm still seeing some pieces about it. What is natural wine? Maybe it just changed its name.
I think it got slowed down because that's the kind of thing you have to be at a fancy restaurant or just browsing the liquor store and right. have, you know, and run into. And people are doing neither one of those things right now. They are hitting and run at the liquor store if they even go at all.
If you're browsing like BevMo online, you're just going for the like crappy brands you already know.
Yeah,
you
know? Absolutely.
You're not just like, oh, interesting. I'm going to try this thing. You're like, nope. I got one chance.
I need to have this show up on my porch now, and I need to like it. My other thing today is just the idea, the phrase that you will see, and I've seen it literally everywhere, saying something, interrupting yourself, and then gestures broadly at everything.
Oh, my God. This is amazing. This is amazing and totally true.
This meme dates back to 2011, according to knowyourmeme.com.
Really?
And I've certainly, I don't know if I've seen it that far back, but I've certainly seen it before now. But we are at peak usage of this meme. Gestures broadly at everything. A lot of times it is famously used with Kermit the Frog, sort of wildly gesturing. And then, you know, they have some examples on Know Your Meme. Like, if you're like, wait, I don't quite get it. Someone writes, I don't drink enough for this. Gestures at everything.
I'm not saying that David Bowie was holding the fabric of the universe together, but gestures broadly at everything.
Yeah.
I love this because it's basically just like, it's a text-based interpretation. It's a more accessible version of a GIF. So you had your Kermit GIF. But it just wasn't, you know, not everybody mm-hmm. can get that and you can't always find it quickly. So you just started, you just transcribed it.
Yeah.
Man, I love
NBC
this.
News reports major depression on the rise. Robert O'Neill writes, well, I mean, gestures broadly at everything. And it works so well right now. I think like this is its moment. This is this meme's moment.
God, it really is. But what's amazing is that it appears to... I just love the origin story. This is, you know, can tell that Know Your Meme really does their research, but they're like, the earliest known variant of the meme showcasing a negative situation appeared on Twitter on May 8th, 2011. That day, Twitter user Shotgun Winky tweeted this bullshit, gestures around at everything, including the pile of now actually dead zombies shown below left. And then obviously...
Yeah.
Couldn't be more useful in this exact moment. Wow, I'm going to start using this all the time. And now that you say it, I've seen it for sure.
Oh, you've totally. Yeah, you absolutely have. Because amazing. Gestures broadly at everything.
Because gestures broadly at everything. And I love this so much better than the one that's like, no one, colon, blank, me, I accidentally sprayed mousse in my hair instead of dry shampoo. Like the no one colon blank meme never made any sense to me. Like I never could quite explain it. Like I get it, you know, said no one ever and then you said it and then it didn't. But it was just like, it was a little too many layers. And so now I'm into this one. I'm into it.
That's a good one. It's a good meme. I always like a good meme.
I am also into, and this is straight up, it might even be thing fishing a little bit to see if it really is, because this is straight up one of those scenarios where three of my friends from disparate friend groups were like, you have to watch this thing, you have to watch this thing, you have to watch this thing. And I have been looking for a thing to watch that is lightweight, interesting, funny, and only half an hour long. And it turns out that thing is What We Do in the Shadows, which... is on Hulu, and there's clapping. Oh my God, how exciting. It's based on this 2014 movie that some people might have seen, but it was created by Jemaine Clement of Flight of the Conchords,
yep.
And Taika Waititi. Now, originally, this is the evolution of a thing, because originally I was going to be like, man, Taika Waititi is a thing. And he just has been. But then I was like, I feel like I kind of missed my moment to say that Taika Waititi was a thing because now he's just like super thing. The director who did the latest Thor movie and he did the Nazi one with the imaginary friend.
Right.
Jojo Rabbit.
Jojo Rabbit.
Jojo Rabbit.
The Mandalorian episode. He did an episode of The Mandalorian. He was like, in The Mandalorian also as a stormtrooper, I think.
Right, totally. And he just is, he is all the way every, and that's, that would have been the moment to do Taika Waititi when The Mandalorian was on. But now, all of a sudden, everyone is talking to me about this show, What We Do in the Shadows. It's a Hulu show. It debuted in April of pandemic, or
season
what
two.
We sometimes call 2020. Oh, was it season two?
Yeah, season two debuted in April. Because you are right. This is a thing. This is 1,000%
a thing. Oh, thank God. Yeah. Okay, good. Maybe it's that season two came out in April and it was just in time for everyone to be like, oh, there's new stuff. And then they went back. Okay, good. Phew. I was flailing. Oh, yeah. It premiered in 2019 on FX.
Yep.
Anyway, and then I completely
because FX and Disney merged, that's why now on Hulu. Because Disney owns Hulu and now owns FX.
Got it. Well, I'm just here to say thank you for the validation.
Because absolutely.
I can't believe, I mean, I don't know if it's just like the thing where everybody discovered it all at the same time because pandemic, but holy cow. My friends were coming in, like my brother in particular was like, have you watched it yet? Did you watch it? Are you going to watch it? Are you going to watch it tonight? Tomorrow, are you going to watch it? When are you going to watch it? Text me when you're watching it. Have you watched it yet? Are you still watching it? And I was just like, dude, back off. And then I watched 11 episodes. Like all of season one and the first episode of season two in like one night. It is hilarious.
It's so good. Have you seen the movie it's based on?
So good. And I haven't seen the movie and I'm going to have to.
So there's your dessert, right? Like if you're done with season two, you can be like, oh, wait, there's a prequel. I mean, it wasn't a prequel when it came out, but... You know, you can go find the origin, which has Taika Waititi and Jemaine Clement in it.
In fact,
I was a fan of the movie. This is definitely a thing. You're like super on because I was a fan of the movie and got so excited when they announced they were doing a series, but also worried because I'm like, well, Jemaine and Taika are involved. I know Jemaine's the showrunner and Taika's an executive producer, so it's mostly Jemaine's thing. But is it going to be as good if Jemaine's not in it? Because they were so great in the movie, and then they nailed it. The series is just incredible. It's so good.
I mean, it is so funny.
And we haven't even explained what it is.
I know, we should really explain what it is, because this is the most shocking part. It is a mockumentary about vampires.
Three vampires, actually four. There's three, right.
Like three
traditional vampires and a psychic vampire,
an energy vampire,
are roommates in an old house in Long Island, I think, right?
Staten Island.
Thank you.
Staten Island. Yep.
God. And
it's just literally like about them being not very good at being vampires and having a familiar who wants to become a vampire.
Guillermo. Guillermo's my hero.
I mean, it like I can't. Words cannot express. I legitimately laugh out loud watching this show by myself. Last night, I was actually using my phone to make little videos of the show and text it to my boyfriend because I was laughing so hard. I was like, you got to watch it. And I'm like, I just sent you a janky video that I took off the TV. Like, it's hysterical. And it does seem to be like, for whatever reason, the last couple weeks is when everybody discovered it. Is that fair? Do you think that's true?
Or is it
just a thing because it's so freaking great? It's so
freaking because great. I've already known about it. I probably washed over me when the recent discovery came because I'm already subsumed in it. But I think this is definitely a thing of the pandemic because the season came out in the middle of the pandemic and we did the same thing when it first came out. We just sat down. We're like, oh my gosh, thank goodness. Something that doesn't commit a lot of time, but we can just enjoy and take our brains off and laugh. And it's amazing for that.
It is amazing for that. And I am so grateful to have discovered it. I mean, there is one episode where the list of guest stars.
In season one, right?
In season one. It's just
oh my
like,
gosh. Yeah.
And I started texting my brother like, oh my God, it's Dave Bautista. Ha ha ha. Oh my God, it's Tilda Swinton. Oh my God. And then finally it's Danny Trujillo, who by the way, something is a thing. And it just kept going. And then finally I was like, oh, I get it. It's just a whole like smorgasbord of incredible cameos. So I'm going to stop texting you now like a dum-dum. And he was like, LOL. Yeah, it is legitimately a thing. And it is a worthwhile thing. If you are looking for something to watch, that isn't the great, previously the Great British Baking Show was the thing that I watched to just be like, I cannot have a brain now. And now that thing is this, but it is like, it's high level comedy. It's hysterical.
Have you finished it?
No.
Oh,
I'm on.
I'm so jealous.
I've only watched the first episode of season two. I know.
I might just go back and rewatch it now. Yeah.
I might actually just go right back to the beginning and start over when I get done. Cause it's incredible. Incredible.
And then go watch and definitely watch the movie. Absolutely yes. Worth it. Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm so happy.
We need more things. We are thing vampires. We feed on things.
Amazing. Yes, keep sending them to us. But let's get to your feedback now. Art in Patreon is dropping some things on us. He says, hi, thingers. Not a reaction, but a heads up. I've seen two or three guys wearing nail polish on a few fingers. I thought that's interesting. I wonder if it'll catch. And then suddenly, boom, the August GQ issue features men with nail polish as the new thing. So there you go. Ba-pew! And then he says, I'll pass on this thing, though, as I like nibbling on my fingers.
Yeah, unless they come up with, you know, some safe, non-toxic edible.
I will say, I keep getting Instagram ads for this like manicure kit. Like spend $80 on this manicure kit, but I just keep stealing all the ideas. And so I have a great ombre shaded manicure right now where like every nail is a different color. I think we talked about this back when we did the nail
brilliant
culture episode, but it helped with the mood.
Settle in, folks, because Joe wrote in with some things spotted on vacation, because as we mentioned on a previous episode of It's a Thing, going on a vacation has become a thing when you go close to where you live. Joe says, let me start with the It's a Thing beach report from the shores of North Carolina, where social distancing is totally happening, thankfully. And finishing with a young person update, warning, this may be Fordo long. First, a thing confirmation from the coast. Hard seltzer is absolutely the beverage of choice for morning drinking among the folk walking down the beach.
Oh my God. Okay.
Second, a new beach-centric thing. Windsock canopies are a thing. These are tentpole arches with a canopy on top that is supported by the wind. The breeze blows the canopy back to provide a shade spot. These are every 100 feet down the length of the beach. I looked into it, and the brand name is Shibumi Shade, which makes me love it even more.
Okay.
On the young person's side, my 8-year-old spent 10 minutes telling me about her Roblox restaurant and bakery, which sadly does not sell realistic looking cakes. She also said right at the end of every third sentence, double thing confirmed.
Oh my God. Roblox and right, done and done.
And then finally, he needs a thing check. The 13-year-old boy has started saying yes, not yes queen, just yes. I'm wondering if this is a personal oddity or a new thing that's happening. I know Yas Queen was a thing late 2019, but has it gotten to teen boys somehow?
Yep. Can confirm.
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. So just the Yas or the Yas Queen or both?
Just the Yas.
Just the Yas.
Yeah.
Yep,
for sure. For all sure. Right.
And then Joe says he's not sure what Patreon level includes reimbursement for thing spotting expenses, but he included receipts from the beach. Good try.
Good try, buddy. Go try. And then finally, RJ wrote in with some go bag entertainment. Molly and Tom, Netflix launched a show in the beginning of July called Southern Survival Outdoor Gear Testing, aka Things You Want in Your Go Bag, beginning of July. Boom! Nailed it! He says the show is run by a company called Battle Box. The company evaluates survival and outdoor gear, things you would have in your go bag, and then sells it on their website. They also offer a subscription service where you sign up for a monthly battle box, and they will ship you gear automatically each month. They offer four sizes of battle box, ranging in cost from $29.99 to $159.99 per month. They post videos on their YouTube channel, Battle Box. In the first couple of Netflix episodes, they evaluate matches that can't be extinguished, devices to cut seat belts and break car windows in an emergency, and pull start fire starters. Please excuse me while I make this the duck battle box. The Discord was wondering when I'm going to buy something, and it might be now.
It might be right now, folks. So just give Molly a moment to put in her credit card number for the $159.99 a month battle box subscription.
But dude, that is crazy.
Matches that can't be extinguished. Definitely know about those. Devices to cut seatbelts. Seen plenty of those. Break car windows in an emergency. You can do that with like an old spark plug. I learned this from watching Brian Brushwood on TV. Pole start fire starter sounds cool though. But this is definitely the thing.
Vehicle escape tool. Fascinating. I will say it's only $10.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Pick well, your box. Products from the show. Oh, man. Okay. No, I'm focused. I'm on it.
While you engage in capitalism, our shout outs this week from our producer, Rich, have been inspired by the Ferengi rules of acquisition from the Star Trek race, the Ferengi, who are motivated by naked capitalism.
Oh, my God. I'm so happy right now.
Now, the question is, are you going to do it in a Ferengi accent?
Oh, I would have to. I'm so embarrassed. I would actually have to look that up and be reminded, isn't it? I feel like it's very toothy.
Yes. Because they have these big, sharp, pointy teeth.
They have these big, sharp, pointy teeth, but I can't remember what comes under that.
I'll make a stab. I'm not saying it's going to be right, but yeah, I could set a template for you.
Okay. Love it.
Right or wrong. Here we go. Rule of acquisition number 9. Opportunity plus instinct equals Eric Duncan.
Rule number 17. A contract is a contract is a contract, but only between Jake Woods and Gabrielle Cohen.
That's so good. Rule number 33. It never hurts to suck up to Brad Sparks.
Rule number 47. Don't trust a Louis St. Amour wearing a better suit than your own.
Rule number 31. Never make fun of Andrew Wyatt's mother.
Rule number 57. Mike Akins is as rare as latinum. Treasure him.
So much fun.
Oh, that is so amazing. I feel like I like, but the teeth.
Yeah.
Were the key. They were the key.
I was definitely doing the wall of Sean.
I know, me too. I was like, I think I got like a little, you know, New York grandmother at the end.
Only
there,
slightly more famous.
I'll take it. Oh my God. Amazing as always, Rich Ruffolino. Bravo. Well done, and thank you. Thank you to everyone who supports us at the shout out level on Patreon. Obviously, it makes our week every week. So thank you for that. And to everybody who supports us at all at patreon.com/itsathing. We are grateful all the time.
Can also email us your things at feedback@itsathing.me. We are definitely grateful for that too.
Thank goodness for you, because we'll be back next week with some fun.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.